Taking Your Church Music to the Next Level is the ministry session we are about to hear from Brother Ron Hamilton. Brother Ron Hamilton is better known as Patch the Pirate and is heard on over 500 radio outlets around the world. This session was part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010, hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
And so I didn't know it. I said, oh, Jason, he invited some friends. And I said, Jason, you got to be careful of these things, you know. So he had some friends over. I sat him down and gave him the daddy talk. Now be careful, you know, light one at a time, back away. If it fizzles, don't try to fix it. And all this stuff, you know, I didn't really know what I was saying, but I was trying to act like a good dad. And so anyway, he goes up in the street in front of our house. Our house sits down a little bit. The street was the place that was most clear. And so we had some big bottle rockets that were pretty big around. And so he put two of them in a bottle. And the first one shot off, and the second one shot into the bag. It didn't go up. It went into the bag of fireworks. And so all of a sudden, we're in a neighborhood where all the neighbors are close. The neighbors next door were out washing their car. And so these things suddenly started all going off, only they weren't going up. They were going out. And I peeked out the front door just as this all started. And so they're shooting at me. I duck back inside the house. They're shooting at everybody's cars, everybody's houses. The kids that were out there setting them off are diving under the cars and fireworks going everywhere. And we found out it was a great way to meet your neighbors. afterwards, everybody's coming, you know, kind of looking out of their house. And it worked perfectly for the line, you know, if you were to die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? But a lot of fireworks made a real memory. And it was a really neat time. We really had a good time. And Jason, his friends, the ones that weren't scared to death, were saying, "Boy, this is really cool." I was reading about a kindergarten class where the kindergarten teacher had been teaching her class about the sun, the moon, the stars, and she was trying to teach about them. And on the quiz, or she asked the class after she was through with everything, "What's the most important light in the earth sky?" And a little boy, "Oh, I know, a 5-year-old class." And he said, "Yes, Johnny, what is it?" He said, "It's the moon." I said, "The moon? Why do you say that?" He said, "Because the moon comes out at night when there's not any other light. Everybody really needs it. The sun's out in the day when nobody needs it. It's already light." And it's easy to get mixed up about what is the most important thing when it comes to music. What's the most important thing in our music programs at our church? You know, with the choir, with the congregation, with the kids, what's the most important thing? Lots of times we get messed up thinking the most important thing is musical talent, because it isn't. And often I'm in churches where they really get in trouble because they pick out the most musically talented person and make him the music director or put him in charge of something. Spiritually, he may be an infant, but he's got musical talent. The most important thing is our relationship with Jesus Christ. The most important thing is what Pastor Chappell was talking about last night. And I won't go there because our time is short. I was reading about Jacob and how he wrestled with God, and how Jacob when the angel of the Lord, who probably was a Christophany, when Jesus was wrestling with Jacob through the night, and you know they're wrestling, and this is a puzzling picture here. I mean, God wrestling with man, and Jacob wouldn't let him go, and God didn't choose to let go. And then Jacob said, "I won't let you go unless you bless me." And then God touched that muscle that still today Jews can't eat of that muscle on an animal because it was touched by God. And what I saw in Israel, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. He got a little bit of an understanding who the real power was. Because here, all of his life, he'd been scheming, he'd been planning, he'd been working, he'd been trying to do all these things to get the advantage I always chuckle when I read through that passage with Laban where he's putting those rods in front of the sheep, you know, stripping some of them and doing all this stuff and, you know, trying to, who was really doing all that? God was. God was the one blessing him. And I think that night when he wrestled with God, he went away from that experience realizing just a little bit, he still had lessons to learn, that the source of the blessing was God. Now, it's important to work. It's important to develop your skill, but the source of the blessing with music is God. It's also interesting to me that God had to hurt Jacob. Jacob walked with a limp the rest of his life. And every time he took a step, he was reminded that God is in charge. Maybe God has hurt you. God hurt me. And yet I don't look upon it as a hurt, I look upon it as a blessing. But every time I look in the mirror, it's funny because I walk through anywhere I go and I forget I've got a patch. And I don't really notice people staring, but they do, you know. And then they look away, except for the kids. The kids don't, you know, try to hide it. Mommy, what's that? You know? And the kids don't hide it, and they walk up and say, what's under there? What's under there? And, you know, they're always asking fun stuff. But God often hurts us to draw us close to him, to get us on our knees, and to get us to realize where the real power is. And you don't have to be alive very long before you get hurt. And I found that God's most precious servants usually have been hurt, but they've responded by turning to the Lord. They've responded by drawing closer to him. He's the source of the power. And you know what I found? When I'm hurt, I realize that I am weak. I don't have any strength. The strength is in him. Just a few weeks, well, 6-7 weeks ago, I had some surgery, and it was, they told me I was kind of young for this surgery, and I was skinny, so skinny always helps. And, you know, the doctor says, you'll do great. My friends are saying, this won't be a big deal. But you know what I found out in the recovery from that surgery? I'm just average. You know, I hurt and struggled, and I'm just average. Nobody special. The power is with him. Power is not with me. We need that in our music. I have been in churches where the person in charge of the music, there's a church up in the Midwest where the music director is the people love him. He claims, he jokes about not being able to read music. He even jokes about sometimes not being able to carry a tune. And he's the choir director. And the people, he said he's tried to quit because there's other people more skilled, but he said the people won't let me quit because they love him. And I've been in his church, and he does a good job with his energy, with inspiring the people to sing, and with his love for the Lord. And he's got a power, the power of God on his life, and it is so refreshing to realize that when he's doing something, that God is the one doing it. Now, if I could, it's nice to have both. It's nice to have the power of God. And if you're serving the Lord, we do need, David played skillfully. That's why Saul had him come and play for him. That's why he was a favorite in the court, because he played skillfully on that harp. And it's good to do both. It's good to have the blessing of God, the power of God, and also to seek to do your music skillfully. I've got a good friend. He's in our church. His name is Pastor Jim Phillips. He's had some grandkids that went here to school. He wrote a book, and I want to start off by just reading. This is from a pastor's viewpoint. It's a very simple, very down-to-earth book. It's written just so that anybody can grab it. It's not deep. It's not theological, but it's just practical stuff. And he has several statements in there about the church music program. Let me read it for you. Well, I'll just pick out several things here, just to kind of get us started here. Talking about the music program, of all things in life, our relationship with the Lord, even in the music program, is the most important. Kind of basic. But so true. So true. Love your neighbor. Be kind. Don't be a mean Christian or a mean preacher. Be ye kind to one another. I mean, this is simple stuff. Have any of you ever heard of a book called All I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten?
Yeah.
That's a neat book. And the whole premise is that all you ever needed to know in life, if you learned those lessons that your kindergarten teacher taught you well, if she's a Christian, but he's coming from a Christian point of view. But he said even those things that every good kindergarten teacher teaches, it's good. Good stuff. One of the first lessons, be kind. Another good lesson is don't hit. You know, Jason, my son, has been working out. And, you know, he came home, this is a long time ago. He's coming home, you know, his muscles are beginning to bulge a little bit. And I said, man, you're getting pretty big. What are you going to do with these muscles? He said, if somebody's mean to me, I'm going to beat him up. You know, I thought, wait, where are we going with these muscles here? And, you know, don't hit. A very simple truth, but it's true. It's true. Share your toys. You know, just good stuff. Here's another good one. The head of the music program is not the music director. It is the pastor. The pastor is the head of every area of your church. That is so true. And I've worked with three pastors. We've been at our church now for 16 years. And we've had three pastors. Every pastor has been very different. Every pastor has had different requirements, different expectations from music on regarding the music program. Our first pastor was very spontaneous, and was a wonderful soul winner. Wasn't real organized by nature. Our present pastor is very organized, and I've got to have things submitted a long time ahead of time and programs planned a long time ahead of time. You know, and the requirements on me are a lot different. And sometimes each one of the pastors wants something different in the music program. You know, look at the church music, the schedule. I'm the one in charge of doing the Sunday service schedule, and sometimes the pastor changes a number on me. You know, that a song that I prayed over and I picked because it went with the sermon topic. And you know what? That's fine. That's perfectly all right. There even are occasions when the pastor has changed the special number at the last minute. Have you ever heard of anything more unreasonable than that? And yet that's fine. And you know what? He's in charge. God put him there. And my response needs to be, thank you, Lord, we're going to bring you glory. He's in charge, and I'm going to serve him, and I'm going to serve you. It is so easy to get hurt. It's so easy to let something get under your skin and begin to think, I just don't like this guy. Why? He isn't like the guy that hired me. You know, he changed the rules on me. No. God's man with a good heart trying to serve the Lord, and the pastor's in charge. Remember that. Simple, but good. That may be the thing that's holding you back in your music program. Just your attitude about that one thing. I've wrestled with it at times, and often we do. If at all possible, avoid soundtracks. Always use live music if you have competent musicians. Good live music is always better than canned music. How would it be if I went to a music hall to hear a symphony and instead of hearing a live symphony, they had a CD player sitting in the middle of the concert hall and they turned that on instead? I don't think we'd all be too excited about that. And that's many of the musicians. I want my pianist, I want my organist, I want my string players, I want those kids. You know, in the recording we just listened to a second ago, those are professional musicians. We use them to record our soundtracks. And our church orchestra doesn't sound like that. Excuse me. I mean, we're crammed on our platform, and at best we have 6, 8, 10 instruments sometimes. And we have some of the players are pretty good, but some of them are intermediate. And you know, hit a sour note and don't get their part just right. And boy, I'd much rather have them than that canned music play. Even though that's ours. You know, no, I want our orchestra to be playing that music. I want my pianist and my organist to be practicing. And when we do a number at church, I want that to be their offering to the Lord. There are some times that I change something. I'll change the tempo a little bit. Or I'll hold a note longer than the soundtrack holds it. Or I'll do something a little different, because why am I doing that? Because I feel like, well, actually, I feel like the Lord is leading me to be expressive through that music and to praise Him through it. And I want to be able to do that instead of being married to whatever's going on with that soundtrack. Now, I know that's not written in the Bible anywhere, but I think that is, I think it makes sense. Start a church orchestra. You can take a survey and just see, and you've got to struggle with this, and we have anybody in our church that wants to can play along with the congregation. But for the choir arrangements, they have to be a little bit better, because the choir arrangements are often more difficult. So we can't have a beginner player trying to play along with the choir. That doesn't work. But they can play along with the congregation. But the church, y'all come, they can play, the orchestra can play along with the congregational singing, and it works great. Have the music picked out ahead of time. How often I've gone to a church and saw the music director, the music pastor, standing at the piano picking out the songs for the service at the service. Don't do that. I've done it, and it's no fun. It's no fun to be under that kind of pressure. And, you wouldn't do that at your job. You wouldn't just be just given it the last, just the last minute preparation. Do your homework. Plan ahead. Let me tell you how we do it, and this again has changed a little bit because of our pastor. He's a more organized individual than the previous two pastors I was with. We have a staff meeting. Shelley likes this because I used to, confess warts and all, but I used to often do the church music program, the church music schedule. I'd often do it on Saturday night. And sometimes it was midnight on Saturday night. And and that's not...
Special music was planned before that.
Yeah, because she was in charge of the special music, so... But just doing everything at the last minute, late Saturday night, going to bed late and getting up bleary-eyed. So the way we do it now is we have a staff meeting on Thursday. And I have to have the church... the order of service for all the services there at that staff meeting on Thursday. We all go over it. We all look at it. We all pray about it. We all say, well, make sure everything's fit. Swap out a hymn if it doesn't fit real well. But it's all got to be done Thursday. And you know what? My Saturdays are a lot better now. Now, that didn't happen because of me. It had happened because of my pastor saying, I want it done on Thursday morning. I want it in the office by Thursday morning. And you know what? I didn't like that when he told me that. But it was a good thing, and I like it now. It was a good thing. And then the other thing that we do on Sunday morning, and you might consider this also, is we meet with our pastoral staff, head usher, one or two of the musicians. We meet at 30 minutes before the service on Sunday morning, just for a time of prayer, a time of any last-minute changes. All right, let's go get them. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Start the service with bright, cheerful music. Every church is different, and every church has a little bit different style of music. We'll talk about this a little bit more in a moment. There is a line you can cross, I believe, where the music is ungodly and worldly. I believe there is a line. But within the realm of what is good and right, there are differences in our churches. We'll go into that in just a little more detail in a moment. Have your singers ready to sing. Never have a singer get up there and say, I haven't had a chance to practice, or y'all pray for me. Don't go that route. You have we have a mic check early Sunday morning at 8:15, 8:30 for all of our musicians. We have two services. And so all the musicians have to be there, and they have to have, and normally they've been practicing for two to, let me just go ahead and share this with you, because And Shelley does all this, but this is our quarterly music schedule that goes out once a quarter with all the music, all the offertories, everything on the quarterly music schedule. This is blank. I've got some of these Xeroxed up here. You're welcome to take one if you'd like. But you can change the service times. But all of our musicians know 3 months ahead of time what they're doing. And so they're practicing, they're working, they're picking out their songs. We encourage them to memorize their music. That isn't a requirement for us, but we encourage them to memorize the music so they can communicate, so they can look up, so they can sing. And it's a real help. One thing that we try to do is we try to keep the pace of our services moving. I don't like a service if we err on one side or the other, we err on music that is lively and exciting and, you know, exuberant, rather than music that's slow. And I don't want to say that all music is dead, but all slow music is dead. But even if all the hymns are slow in the same key, it just tends to deaden the service. And so if you're going to err on one side or the other, I always err on the side of happy, exciting, that kind of music. The other thing I try to do is I try to keep the service moving, the pace of the service moving. I don't get up and announce who the soloist is. And now we're going to have Judy come and sing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." Judy, come ahead and sing that for us. No, I have her come up. So if they're not up there halfway through the last stanza of the song before it, I nod at them and give them this. But normally I don't have to do that. They know to move into place, and they're right up there so that I step away, or whoever's making an announcement steps away, they step up and go. So that it's just flowing. It's just flowing. It's just going one thing right after another. You go to a concert, you go to any event that's well done, and it isn't an MC getting up usually saying, "And now we're going to have Brother so-and-so come and do this. And next we're going to have," you know, you don't need that. You don't need somebody to get up and tell everybody the name of who everybody knows that they're going to come and sing. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Do you think about people getting into place during prayer? Is that bad?
What we normally do, and that's, we have told, normally if it's a soloist, we let them get into place during prayer. If it's a group, I normally get up and kill a little time while they get into prayer, because we don't want a bunch of noise going on during prayer. I've told the choir, I've told, you know, our choir, we have another number of people that go out of the choir to other ministries, the nursery or whatever, and I said, don't move during prayer. That's our standard operating procedure. And yet, if it's a soloist and they can move quietly, I don't have a problem with that. And that again, is up to individual. But thank you for mentioning that, because it is something that we have had a problem with. When you've got 20 people moving during prayer, it's a distraction. You want people praying, not thinking, what happened with the cattle stampede here? And so anyway, thanks. Good point. Feel free to ask questions along the line here. In my opinion, just singing a song out of the songbook is not special music. Unless someone has an exceptional voice, or unless there are some very good variations are used, I think the special music should be music that the people do not ordinarily hear. And again, we're just talking about preparation. If we have people that do the special music, if they have trouble finding special music, Shelley or one of our other pianists will give them some direction with that. And it's just a matter of making the special music special. Again, I don't want somebody getting up and just opening the hymnal and coming up and singing three verses of At Calvary with nothing special about it. I want a little more specialness about it than that. And so, use an order of service for, at the Thursday meeting and on our Sunday morning meeting, we make sure that everybody has an order of service. This is critical. My musicians, my special, the special music, the pastors, the associates, the pianists, the organists. We have a synthesizer also, the head usher, the special music people, and my tech people, the people that are running the PowerPoint, and they all have an order of service, so they know what's coming. So you don't have, oop, the mic wasn't up. Why wasn't it up? Well, my PA guy didn't know what was coming next. No, do that. And then on the Sunday morning, we always have all the the tech guys there rehearsing it ahead of time. So you're never doing your sound check during the service. You always want to have it ahead of time. So you know if that duet, if you've got a duet and one person is louder than the other, you know it ahead of time. But you've got a good balance. Shelley and I are there. Shelley's usually doing the balancing, making sure everything is working. Okay, let's go and sing a little bit. Let's go back to I Stand Redeemed, shall we? Let me go over a few conducting tips, and then we will, because I know all of you here are not conductors, and it's interesting with the conducting, some people have better hands than others. Some people, the conducting comes easily, some it doesn't. That really doesn't make a difference in how good of a choir director you are. Conducting is a language. Conducting is a means where I can communicate with my choir through my hands and not have to tell them things. And variety, you can give variety, all kinds of things, but not everybody talks with their hands real easily. And so it's something that if you're not good at it, you've got to work on it a little bit. I've known people that were good with their hands that weren't good choir directors because it takes more than just having good hands and having gestures that you know, are look natural and look clear. But it's a nice thing to develop and to have. And so let's work on a few things. There are three patterns that are used with the in our typical church conducting. There are other patterns. You know, there's a 6 pattern, a 5 pattern, a 7 pattern, all kinds of patterns. But in your hymnal and in your choir music with your church, most of the music you can do with a 2 pattern, a 3 pattern, or a 4 pattern. I'm going to conduct you. If you're left-handed, follow my right hand. If you're right-handed, follow my left hand. If you wanted to use both hands, that's fine. We're going to do the 2 pattern first. It goes like this. Just watch me, and we'll say down, up, down, up. Do it with me. Down, up, down. It's like a J. Down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up. Okay, we're going to go to a 3 pattern. I just want to cover these very quickly. The 3 pattern covers basically the same area, but it goes down, out, up, down, out, up, down. Say it with me. Out, up, down, out, up, down. We're going to go 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Good. Now we're going to go to the 4 pattern. 4 pattern is 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. We're going to say down, in, out, up.
Down.
In, out, up. Down, in, out, up. Very good. That's let's go over just a few things regarding the pattern. The purpose of the pattern is to establish the tempo very easily, to establish the tempo so everybody stays together, to establish the metrical stresses. Say, what do you mean by that? If I'm conducting like a river glorious, there's a primary accent on beat 1 and there's a secondary accent on beat 3. That needs to be reflected in my pattern. So it's like a river glorious. Amazing Grace, in a 3 pattern, the primary stress is on 1. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. If I'm leading a 3 pattern, I'm just beginning conducting, and I get lost, I can always find home because home is 1. It's where the strong pulse. Drop your hand on beat 1 with me, okay? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. If I'm conducting that needs to be reflected. For instance, I don't go, Amazing Grace, how. It's adequate to do, and on those beats that are not stressed, sometimes you don't even have to move at all. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. You're trying to get your choir and your congregation to feel amazing grace, and so you can do it with your conducting. On the four pattern, if I'm doing when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, rather, trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. Why do that? When I'm just needing when the trumpet of the Lord, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. That's one is my primary stress, three is the secondary stress, and the others I can almost throw away. Now this is a lot according to what feels good and what you're wanting out of your choir. Also, your dynamic level is often determined by your pattern, or by your sometimes this hand. But if I sing Amazing Grace with me, or sing, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. Here we go, one, two, go. When the trumpet of the Lord
shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair.
Sing it with me now. Here we go, one, two, three. Okay, you know, we're not rocket science here, but if I make it a lot smaller, and if, particularly if I get my hand up a little bit like this, what does that say? And so I can do a lot just with my hands where I don't, all right, we're going to sing this soft. No, all I have to do is, they know. And your choir, everybody's different. Your choir picks up on what your cues are. Yours may be different than mine. But everybody, there's some that are pretty universal. And if I get up and go, nobody's going to, nobody's going to really shout at me. I'm the model for my choir. So that the way I'm singing, the way I'm conducting, I want them to mirror what I'm doing. I was at Walmart the other day, and the cashier, I mumbled something to me, and I said, pardon, what'd you say? And the guy said, I said, have a nice day. Are you deaf or something? Obviously, he wasn't modeling what he was saying. And as I'm singing Amazing Grace, I've known some choir directors that when they conduct, their posture changes into weird things that you'd never want a singer to sing this way. Sometimes a choir director, his head will go back. And sometimes with a large group, it goes back and it's like this. Ooh, I can't talk very long that way. And when it strains the whole mechanism in here to go back like that, just like stretching a rubber tube and tightening and stretching it. You don't want to do this. You want to leave the head down where it's relaxed and natural. I've known some choir directors that when they conduct, the shoulders kind of hunch like this, and they kind of look like they're about ready to, you don't want to do that. Good posture in singing, high rib cage, the shoulders back and down. So as I'm conducting, I want to look like I want my singer singing. The other thing you want, give me some obvious things that you want to model for your choir. Yeah, smile. I mean, very simple but very basic. The thing I want my choir to communicate as much as anything to visitors that are there unsaved is that we love the Lord. This is fun. We love singing His praises. And so I'm wanting them to reflect what I'm doing. So I'm not looking like I'm in pain. I'm not trying to, I'm trying to, here we go, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. This is who I am. This is what we're doing. This is what life is all about, praising the Lord from my heart. I want that to be reflected in what I'm doing. And so what I'm doing here is I'm trying to model this in my, let's sing a little of this, I Stand Redeemed, and then we'll come back to this. When we start here, I know you're just learning it, you aren't familiar with it. Hold your music up so you can try to look at me occasionally. If you'll keep one eye on me, I'll keep one eye on you, okay? But if you'll look up here, notice at the beginning, at the dawn, well, I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing, but just look at me occasionally and let's see if I can communicate some things, okay? let's see if we get this on video. And then I cue this here. Okay, here we go. I'm standing here and I'm looking at you like, let's get ready to sing. This is going to be great. Here we go. And up a third. What's because of Calvary,
I stand redeemed.
Good. Now, when I started that out, the other thing that's real obvious here, but it happens more often than you realize, and we probably should have recognized it here, but what am I conducting this in? Which pattern?
Two.
Okay, what's the time signature here? 4-4. So if I were just looking at this, I'd think 4. But it's a little bit busy in 4. At the dawn of eternity. Now, I could make some of those motions passive. At the dawn of eternity. But still a little bit busy for me. I like it better. At the dawn of eternity. Now, notice the word eternity. I'm going to get some... talk about a few subtle things, but eternity, at the dawn of eternity. So that some of those words you're coloring by, we tend to go, singers tend to go, eternity, and it's eternity. You're trying to get the song to talk. And as I say the word eternity, I say it eternity, eternity. So I'm trying to get it to sing the same way it speaks. And just little things like that that as I'm working on with my choir, I'm trying to get it to paint. The other thing, what kind of mood am I trying to portray here at the beginning? A little mysterious? Awesome? You know, it's not too loud. It's kind of, wow, you know. At the dawn of, you know, it's looking forward to that. It's not, I stand redeemed yet. It's like, at the dawn. So I'm trying to communicate that in what I'm doing. So it's awe, it's ah, it's this. It's not big, it's not, it's kind of restrained. And but when I'm saving that for I stand redeemed, don't make everything big and fast. There has, in order for the big and the loud to be, to impact, to be effective, it's got to have some contrast. So at the dawn of eternity. And then, I stand, it gives that a lot of punch when you come to that chorus there. Let's go on here and sing a little bit more. And here we go. Ladies. Men.
I will sing of his salvation, bought with blood upon the tree. While the host of angels listen to a song they cannot sing, I will voice my praise to Jesus with the song of the redeemed, of the redeemed. I stand redeemed.
Good. Now, the chains that bound me no longer hold me. Well, I did the chains that bound me no longer hold me because of Calvary. I want to paint those words with, this is the reason, because of. So every time that comes, I'm breaking that rule of just giving the bigger gestures, and suddenly I'm accenting everything. Because of Calvary. Some of you are staring at my ring. My ring is staring at you. Shelley went back to the eye doctor and got my eye and had it put in a ring for me. So it's very precious to me, so I wear it constantly. But anyway, because of Calvary. Okay, let's go. Let me mention just a few other things as we go back to our conducting here. And then we'll do a four pattern with me once again, and just let me give you several pointers, okay? We're going to do one, say down, in, out, up with me, one hand or the other or both. Here we go. Down, in, out, up, down, in, out. Now, as I'm conducting this, I'm using a lot of this and a lot of this. As a general rule of thumb, normally one hand keeps the pattern going and one hand is used for cueing and dynamics, usually. Sometimes you use both hands and they just mirror each other. But as you develop the skill, as you get more comfortable with the hands and working independently, let me give you just a few pointers here. I've noticed some of you that as you're conducting, you're kind of doing this. Don't do that. Let me show you how to get away from that. Take the hand and pretend like the fingers are the brushes of a paintbrush. And I want you to paint a wall right here in front of you. Okay, we're going to do this. Okay, just follow me. Come down. Okay, now we're painting a barn with red paint here. Okay, let's do both hands. Both hands now. Both hands. Okay, very good. Very good. Now, let's come down and do this. Here we go. Okay. Here we go. That's right. We're painting. We're going different directions with the two hands. That's it. Okay, keep this hand going here. Keep this hand going. And I just want you to bring this hand up slowly like this. Okay. Just follow me. Do what I'm doing. Okay, now we're going to come down slowly. Okay. Okay, very good. Now, let's do a four pattern, whichever hand you'd like. If you're left-handed, you might want to try this with the left hand or the right hand, but we're going to do down, in, out, up. Say it with me, in, out, up, down, in, out, up, down, in, out. Now, with the other hand, let's go up and down. Here we go, out, up, down, in, out, up, down, in, out, up, down, in, out, up. Go to three. Out, up, down, out, up, down, out. Go to two. Down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up. Good. You know why I can do that better than a lot of you? I'm genetically superior to you. I've just practiced a little. That's all there is to it, really. I'm sure. But anyway, just have fun with it. Practice in front of a mirror. That really is lots of fun. There are different styles of the pattern. If I'm leading, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, you know, bouncing around a lot. But if I'm leading something very smooth, then I smooth it out like this, okay? Let's see, what's a smooth 4-4 song? You can lead like a river or like a, let's go in four, and I want you to lead it Marcato like a march, lead onward Christian soldiers for me. Here we go in four pattern. Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Okay, now let's lead Like a River Glorious. Do all of you know Like a River Glorious? Okay, we're going to lead it in a very smooth flowing pattern, okay? Here we go. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Good. Several things to keep in mind. You've got a plane here and a plane here. So that as I'm leading, I'm coming down, especially on this like, it's like I'm coming down and I can drop a little below the table, but like, but it's like there's a big, beautiful mahogany table right here and I'm dusting it off. So it's, ooh, I'm feeling how smooth it is. Ooh, 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 oh, wow. What a nice table. I wish I had this table. Do it with me. Here we go. Don't laugh at me. Here we go. We're going to go one, two, three, four, and then we're going to go ooh, ooh, ooh. Here we go. One, two, three, four. Ooh, 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 ooh. Yeah. I do this with my choir, and so they're learning the patterns, they're learning how to do this, and we have a lot of fun doing it. Let me go through a few more quick things because I've got to let you go here. I have a sheet here, which you may need some structure with your choir. You may need some, I don't use the word discipline, but some organization to your choir. I found that organization helps. Requirements help. Now, it has to be done with the right spirit. It has to be done where my choir is 100% fun and 100% work. But I found when I have no attendance requirements, when I have no rules or regulations, the choir attendance goes down and the pride in what we're doing goes down. So there's structure there. This is our structure at our church. I ran off some of these, and these won't apply, all of them won't apply to yours, but just some guidelines. Let me just read some of them for you. The big three guidelines: be there. You've got to be there 3 out of 4 rehearsals to sing in the choir. Be here on time. If you don't arrive 5 minutes early, you're late. If you can't be here, let us know ahead of time. We have an absentee book that they have to sign out ahead of time in. If they're sick at the last minute, they call us on a church hotline. And then these are the dress requirements on the other side. Now, you've got to do this in the right manner. And I would talk this over with your pastor so that you're doing with his blessing and also with his wisdom. Because we've been where we are for 15 years. My nature is to have no rules and to be a pushover and to be too easy. I mean, that's just me. And now my wife, don't tangle, no. But she's the more organized one, and so we balance out each other. So we came up with this together. The choir knows when I present this to them, I'm not presenting it to them to be mean. You know, it's just something we need some guidelines to function by. Here's what we're going to do. And if you have any good suggestions, share them with me, because this is not necessarily the final version. So, but anyway, just some ideas here to look at. Accompanists are very, very important people. Practice ahead of time with your accompanists. Practice and make sure they know what they're doing so that they're never embarrassed. I never want my accompanist to be embarrassed because I've got to live with her, and but she's quicker than I am, so she normally would not mess up. But if my keyboard people, if something goes wrong in a service, whose fault is it? It's mine. If the accompanist messes up on a choir number, whose fault is it? It's mine. Because we haven't rehearsed enough where everybody's comfortable with it. If anything ever goes wrong in the music program, it's my fault. I take the blame. I never say, now, if there's a person that's stepping out of line, I may talk with them personally, but I never embarrass anybody in front of the church. I put the blame on me. Everybody's comfortable with that. But if somebody messes up and I'm going to embarrass, I've seen that happen, and don't do that. It would tend to happen more in the choir rehearsal, where a pianist gets something wrong, and the music pastor corrects the pianist in front of the choir. Don't do that. That's embarrassing. If you need to, rehearse ahead of time. New music. I try to have new music, at least one new piece a month, so that in the course of a month, we'll sing at least one new piece of music. We do more than that, but I would say you need to have some new music that you're learning with your choir. I get in some churches where they haven't learned a new piece of music in years, and don't do that. People like new, fresh things, so be cultivating that and developing sources. Last night when I was eating dinner with Brother Schmidt, Brother Kerry Schmidt, here, I was asking what the choir did last night. Where'd you get that? What were the numbers? And you're just getting new ideas all the time. That's where I get most of mine, just from friends in the ministry. And that can be, never lose your temper. You know, that's a pretty simple thing, but don't lose your temper. It just doesn't help anything. If you do a good job consistently, people are going to tend not to notice it and take it for granted. That's not all bad. If you do a good job every Sunday, prepare well. You know, seems like 3 weeks ago, but last Sunday I was in my church. I'm the music pastor there. I don't know how long it's been since somebody came up to me and said, you know, you did a good job leading the congregational singing today. I mean, I don't know when I've heard that. And I prepare and I try to do a good job, but I just don't hear that. Or, you know, you did a good job leading the choir. I just don't hear that. I've done it long enough, and hopefully you're doing a good job where you are, and it's consistent and it's well done. You know, if somebody came up to me last Sunday and said, wow, you really did a good job. That's a surprise, you know. That would bother me. That would bother me. My mom and dad were great parents, and yet growing up as a kid, it never even occurred to me to say, Mom and Dad, you are great parents. My dad was an electrician. I never saw him on a church platform. He was never anybody really big and important in the eyes of the world. And, you know, he was just Dad and just Mom. My dad's in heaven now. My mom, we usually have Sunday dinner with her. And I often tell her I love her and what a great mom. Thank you. Thank you for being a great mom. With the passing of time, some perspective comes. And if you do a good job, there will be people that will come to you years later and say, thank you for touching my life. Thank you for helping me to praise the Lord. It's such a blessing when we get those kind of, people. I get letters from people saying, I was saved listening to your music or listening to the patch recording. I got one a little while back where a guy had a gun up to his head, ready to commit suicide. And he said, the words came back, I heard you sing, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. And I put the gun down and fell to my knees. You know, and over time, your music will have a ministry. More important than that, one day, if you're faithful in serving the Lord with music, you'll hear those words from Christ himself. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We're a band of brothers here. We can serve the Lord through music. We can improve our skills. But we can praise him from our hearts every Sunday and encourage our folks to do that. Let's do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you have empowered us by your Spirit. Give us a ministry in the lives of our people. May we not fail them. May we not fail you. May we be all we can be through the power of your Spirit. Bless these folks. Use these folks to bring about eternal results. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks. Appreciate it. Oh, let me make just a few announcements here. We do have some things at the table that I want you. We have a music college in August, and we have some things we'd like you to take at the table that are just free. We just have a new choral book that has an Easter cantata in it. I Stand Redeemed CD, we have several of those that you're welcome to at the table. Christmas on the Air, a Christmas cantata, This is a DVD that's yours for free if you're a music director or you take one home for your church. You want to see how to do a great Easter program at your church. Music College, we do it in August. 2-day classes for music directors. Those will be at the table, too. The table is right out that way in the next building over. First floor. Thanks so much. See you all. Bye-bye.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.